what we began looking at last week, and I want to encourage you, no particular series except what the Lord has put on my heart is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So just as you prepare each week, as you pray each week, just ask the Lord to speak to you. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? One of my prayers has become on a more consistent basis throughout this is, Holy Spirit, fill me today. Holy Spirit, fill me today. And out of that, then the Lord is able to do in me what he wants to do, and he's able to do through us what he wants to do as well. Amen? Amen. So we continue this morning. So online, I think we're having a few issues, but we're getting it worked out. Okay? So we're going to let them work it out. They'll stop us if we need to. We're going to keep on going. Right? Okay. The church that the Holy Spirit built. If you have your Bibles, if you want to, or your electronic Bibles, if you want to turn to Acts 2 again, that's where we're going to be, and we're going to follow on from last week as well. So we're considering what does church look like? We, each one of us, we have our personal experience, we have examples, and we have expectations as we look at our own church and as we look at other churches. But I want to remind you that the first disciples, the first followers, had none of these things. All they had were the words of Jesus, who said, I've got work for you to do, but you wait in Jerusalem until the promise, the Holy Spirit. What was the Holy Spirit exactly going to be like? They didn't really know. And I'm sure they were scratching their heads a bit, because remember, the night that he rose from the dead, Jesus directly to them had breathed on them and had said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. But now Jesus also says, you wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So they had all of these things going on, but they still didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. They didn't know exactly how to do what the Lord had called them to do. How many of you, God at times has put something on your heart, but you don't know how to do it? You don't know how it's going to be worked out, right? You don't know how it's going to be accomplished. Think with me for just a minute. Remember what Jesus said, the commission that he gave them? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm with you always to the end of the earth. But Jesus already told them, I'm leaving. But then he said, I'm with you always. How were they going to do what he had called them to do? He had said, go into all the world. They already knew that this world was hostile to Jesus. They already knew that this world was hostile to the message of Jesus and that Jesus wanted them to preach. They had no money because they'd left their jobs. They had no buildings. They had nothing. They had these things that God said, that Jesus said, I want you to do this. How are they going to do it? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. In your life, it may be related to ministry. It may be related to work within the church. Or it may be something that is purely secular. It may be in your family. It may be in your work. But you see, God leads us, whether we are in church, church ministry, and church work, or whether we are working in a job that puts money in our pockets, or whether we're working in our families. The Lord cares equally about each one of these areas in our lives. The Lord cares about these things. And so as he calls us, there are things that he's calling us to do. There are things that we should be doing. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord for direction. There are things. You think you came up with your own business plan all by yourself? Of course you didn't. You're God's child. Right, Chris and Janice? Springtime Design. Right? Has it been tough? Yeah. Has God led you? Yes. Is God providing? Yes. God cares about each one of these areas. And if there is a goal ahead, if there's a plan ahead, but you don't know how to get there from where you are, or if there are things in your life, this is what it should be, but it's not there yet. Wait on the Lord. pray before him. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you and to fill your life and to invade your circumstances. Wherever the Holy Spirit went, he worked out the perfect will of the Father in the life of the church. That's what he did. That's what he did. So we're looking at the church, but this is true in every area of our lives. Amen? Amen. That was a little wimpy. Nevertheless, that's true. That's true. Amen. Amen. So we look at this, and so they did what Jesus told them to do. They waited, but they didn't wait passively. They prayed, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given, so that means God always gives the gifts that he says he will give. Do you feel empty-handed? Come to the Lord and say, Lord, the gifts that you have for me, Lord, please give me the gifts in your time and in your way, and he will give you the gifts that he has for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit and other spiritual gifts as well. Absolutely, absolutely. And then he fulfilled the promise. Has God put a promise in your heart? Has God spoken to you? You wait on him until he fulfills the promise. This is what God does. He is a gift giver. He is a promise keeper. Amen? Amen. So they waited and they prayed. And then the Holy Spirit came, and it began, the church began. Of course, it began when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But there was a very decisive beginning as well. And we looked at this the other day. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And when? That day, about 3,000 people were added to them. Now, you've heard this before, but I feel like I need to stress it again. And I need to just remind us again. There's a point in time. There's a work that God does. There's a process, but there's a point in time as well. In your life, can you point to a point? In your life, can you see the process? If I were to ask you, I often love to ask people their testimony. I really mean it. I love it when I'm especially a newer believer, but sometimes even older believers as well. I will often ask them, how did you become a Christian? And I get to hear the process. And sometimes people don't even realize when the Lord began to woo their hearts and began to pull them. And then they look back and they realize, oh, that was God. At other times, we are very well aware. And so there's this process of our hearts softening, of things that we looked at and then we realized, oh, that's God. But there's also a point, right? There must be a point in your life. So I ask you this morning, if you consider yourself, yes, yes, is there a point in your life when you can say, at this point, I became a Christian? I don't remember the date, but I remember all of the circumstances surrounding it. I remember the overflowing joy in my heart and in my life. I remember the from the point of a conviction, it was in the night, and a conviction that if Jesus comes tonight, I'm not ready. I still remember that. And I was in the bedroom in the front of our house. This was when we were back in the U.S. And I still remember in the night going into Mom and Dad's bedroom and waking Mom up. And I was so convicted that I almost could not speak. Have any of you ever been that convicted before? It was just like, Mom, please. And she came to the bedroom and she talked with us and led me to the Lord. I'm not sure about my sister. I think I was maybe 11 at the time. And I'd grown up in a church, in the church. I'd grown up in a Christian family. My father was a pastor. My mom was a pastor too. But there was a point, there was a moment in time. Do you have that point? Do you have that moment in time? If not yet, I pray, because I love you, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict you so strongly that you can't eat, that you can't sleep, that you can't rest until you say yes to Jesus. I say that in love. I don't want to ruin your sleep, but I want us all to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so they waited for what the Lord was going to do, and he did exactly what he did. So there was a decisive moment. I gave this example in the first service. So let me ask some of the mothers that are here this morning. Some of you have gone through labor before, right? Let me ask you. Let's do a little comparison. Let's do a little comparison, a little labor check. How many of you were in labor at least 10 hours? Raise your hands. Husbands, you just get to sit by and honor your wives right now. 10? 15? Okay, look, Penina's hand is still up, but let me go a little bit further. 20. How many hours, Penina? Lord, I hope you made him pay for it, Penina. 30 hours. I just remembered David's labor. Penina was at Prince of Wales, and she was up, and she was down, and she was sitting in the chair, and then she'd, and she was, but that was David, 30 hours. So if I were to ask, when was he born, she wouldn't say, well, from Sunday night at 8 p.m. to Tuesday morning at 9:30. No, there's a point in time, right? There's one moment. Brothers and sisters, there is a process of coming to the Lord, but there should be a point in time. There should be a moment in time. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see this in the new church. That day, they were accepted his message, and they were immediately baptized. I think one of the things, when we look at this, one of the hallmarks of the church that the Holy Spirit builds is that generally, as the Holy Spirit was building his church, people come to the Lord and then there's immediate obedience. That's one of the hallmarks of the church that the Holy Spirit builds. So I want to ask you something. As the Holy Spirit builds us into his church, and as he's building us individually, is that a hallmark of our lives? Is there instant, is there immediate obedience in your life as the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something? You know what I have found? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something particular, and you know what it is, the other part of his convicting is the power that he brings into your life and into your situation to make a change in that area. So I encourage you, and I strongly encourage you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something, at that moment, there's faith for you to take a step. There is power for you to walk in obedience in the way that the Lord is calling you to. Amen? Amen. So we keep on going. And then we look, verse 47, what does it say? Each day the Lord added to their fellowship. So there's a growth. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And there is something very, very specific. Then we go forward a little bit. We don't know when this was in the birth of the early church. It may have been in the first few months. It may have been in the first year or so. We don't really know. But this is just after Peter and John have been walking into the temple. They see the lame man, right? Lame from birth, and he's sitting there, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is healed. But look with me. Many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. I want to encourage you as we look at this. Do you see something? What drew the crowd? The miracle. What led to salvation? The message. The anointed message. Both of them are the work of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord works to draw a crowd first because he wants people to hear his message. And both of them are the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit works supernaturally in our lives and in the lives of friends and acquaintances as we pray for them, first of all, I believe we should be asking for the Lord to do something miraculous. We really, really should. As he does that, people's eyes are opened to God, and then their hearts are opened, and then the Holy Spirit does his work. So we see this. Amen. Amen. And then we go a little bit further, because I want to encourage you, don't think that it's just Peter and John and the apostles. Let's go forward some years later now. This is after Stephen has been martyred for his faith, Persecution begins, the church scatters, and look what happens. Some of those who scatter, this is Acts 11, verses 20 and 21, they are from Cyprus and Cyrene, and they came as far as Antioch, and they began telling the Gentiles. They began testifying, they began telling about Jesus to people who had never heard about Jesus before. They began telling about Jesus to people who were idol worshipers, who worshiped a pantheon of Roman gods. And that encourages me because that reminds me that Jesus is for everybody. That reminds me that God doesn't leave anybody out, that God doesn't say that the message is too hard for some. I was so encouraged this week, and I feel like the Lord has made a way. About 2.5 weeks ago, we were having a Zoom conference here in Lighthouse. This was going on in the week with Bangladeshi pastors. Such a blessing as we were gathered online for 3 days for several hours each day. And then one of the afternoons, Anil Stevens, who is with Stand Asia, some of you have met him before, said, "Hey, have you, do you like Mediterranean, Middle Eastern food?" I said, "Oh, yes, I like it. I like it very much." And he said, "Let me show you this I want to take you, let me show you. It's a grocery store." So I said, "Oh, okay. So he took us down and we went to Mirador Mansions. A sketchy place. I'm telling you, a sketchy place. He took us up, we climbed the stairs, and he took us to this little, kind of a hole-in-the-wall store, and they had wonderful things at good prices. And I'm advertising because I want you to go too, but not so you can buy great groceries. I want you to go so that Christians are going into that store and telling the lovely young mother who is Muslim in that store about Jesus. Because I believe God wants to save her. I believe God wants to touch her heart." So we went in, we said hello, we this and that the very first time. And then I asked her what her name is. And since we're online, I'm not going to say her name. And she said her name. I said, "Oh, that's a nice name." The son was in there. He's learning Chinese. And so we spoke with him. And so the other day, I had to get some more groceries, and I decided I'm going back. And it was hot, and I was by myself. So I was a little bit nervous. So I climbed up, and it was, and then the store was closed. And I thought, "Oh, no." And I thought, "But Lord, I think you wanted me to come here today." And so I looked, and there was a phone number on the door. And so I called the number, and she said, "Oh, okay, I'm coming. 10 minutes. 30 minutes, at least." And I was pouring down sweat, but I thought, I'm supposed to be here. So I came in, but this time I was the only one in the store with her. And so I went around, I was looking at things, and she remembered me, and I said, "Did my friend come?" And so we were talking, and then, so we talked a little bit more, and then I chatted her with her just a bit, and I did not suddenly say, "Let me tell you about Jesus." I did not do that, because the Lord gives us wisdom, right? So I talked with her a bit more, and then I said some things and whatever. And as I was paying, she looked at me. She said, "Where are you from?" And I thought, "Uh-oh," because she was obviously. I mean, I knew where she was from, and so I told her where I was from. And she looked at me. She smiled. And I thought, "Oh, okay." And then she said, "I love you." And I knew what she meant. You know, I knew what she meant. And I looked at her. I said, "I love you too." And then I felt complete freedom to say, "I pray that God will bless you and will bless your family and your business." And then we said goodbye, and then I walked out. Nobody's too hard for God. God doesn't care what religion other religions people are. God loves people. God loves people. And I'm praying for her every day. And I want to tell you about her too. Like I said, I want you to go, and I want you to share love with her too. And I want God to save her. Amen. And so we see these people. They go, they begin speaking to the Gentiles about the good news of Jesus, because the news of Jesus, brothers and sisters, it is good news. It is good news. Be convicted of that. Be confirmed in your heart. The message of Jesus is good news. It's not about church. It's not about good deeds. It's not about these things. It's about Jesus, and Jesus is good news. Jesus is good news. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Wow, there's a wealth that's right there. The hand of the Lord was with them. What does the hand of the Lord mean? If you look it up in other translations, it will give you I think New Living Translation uses exactly the word. Do you know what the hand of the Lord means? The power of the Lord. That's exactly what it means. So the hand of the Lord. The power of the Lord was with them. How encouraging is that, brothers and sisters? This is the church that the Holy Spirit is building. The power of the Lord was with them as they went. Not just the big church leaders, not just the big names, but nobodies, believers from Cyprus and Cyrene. The hand of the Lord was with them. Brothers and sisters, as the Holy Spirit fills us, as we ask Him to, as we live in His presence, as we go about our days, we can ask and we can expect that the hand of the Lord is with us, that the power of the Lord is with us, and that people's hearts will turn to Him. Look at what it says. They believed and they turned to the Lord. You know what? There's some people that believe, but they don't turn, right? There are lots of good people that believe but have not turned. But the Holy Spirit works not just to convince, but to convict. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Yes, it's true, and now I must do something about it. And so they believed and they turned to the Lord. Turn to the Lord is a great common day expression for the spiritual word that we use sometimes, repent. Yeah? Repent means to turn. You're going this direction, you turn and you go another direction. They not only believed, but they turned to the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with them. Praise the Lord. This is something that I pray for Lighthouse. This is something that I'm praying for each one of us, that the hand of the Lord would be with us as we go. Wherever we go, wherever we go. Amen. Amen. Now the church in Jerusalem hears about it in Antioch. What? There's a church that's starting in Antioch. They're believers in Antioch. So what do? They send Barnabas to Antioch. Look with me at this. Acts 11, 23, 24. He arrived. He saw the grace of God wherever people are getting saved. That's the grace of God, isn't it? That's the grace of God. And he was glad. And he encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. Let's pause there just a minute. This word encouraged, he encouraged all of them. The root word there, never mind the Greek anyhow. It's the root word is related to the word paraclete. What's the word paraclete? Comforter or advocate. It's the New Testament word for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do in the church? What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? He encourages us, right? He encourages us. So Barnabas comes. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it say? Verse 21, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And what did he do? He encouraged all of them. That's what the Holy Spirit does, to encourage, to build up. In the book of Jude, that really short book in the New Testament, right near the end of Jude, I didn't look it up, so I don't remember the verse. Jude writes, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourselves up, and that word building yourself up, building up, that's that also that word encourage. Encouraged to strengthen, all of these related words. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And that's one of the benefits and one of the blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying with the Holy Spirit. We are encouraged and we are built up. There are times throughout the week when I don't feel particularly spiritual. I may not have any special spiritual insight or anything, but I can feel I need to be built up. And I just quietly begin praying in the Holy Spirit. I just begin praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? I need to be built up. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And so what does he say to them? I want to encourage you here. So large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Already large numbers were added. But then along comes another man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And large numbers were added to the Lord. Now, I want you to see something else here, because here we read What does he encourage them to do? We talked about this last week. We began talking about this last week. Here we are, years later, and the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is still the same. It has not changed. What does Barnabas say to them? He encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. Don't you like that? That is so encouraging to me. You don't look very encouraged. I'm encouraged. He encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. We have started well, but brothers and sisters, we've got to keep on going well, and we've got to finish well too. Amen? We started well, keep on going. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we limit what he does to, oh, makes me feel better. It's an emotion. It's something like that. The Holy Spirit does so much more in our lives, brothers and sisters, because so often you and I are ruled. You and I are mastered by our emotions. Are we not? I feel good. Yay, praise the Lord. I feel bad. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does when he works in our hearts and in our lives and when we're full of him, one of the things he does is he gives us a resolve in our hearts. We get established. We stand firm. We keep going. And our emotions may go up a little bit and down a little bit. And we may struggle with some things, but we are committed. Our hearts are in there. And we're going to keep on going. The work of the Holy Spirit is so far beyond emotions. And I see sometimes some groups or some people that have gotten so unbalanced in this area. And it's all kind of about feelings and emotions. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he encouraged them to do what? Remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. You're going to have that to make it through tough times. You're going to have that when things don't turn out the way that you would like them to. A firm resolve of the heart. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. So this reminds us, this leads us back again. Here is the blueprint of the church. So Acts 11, years later. This Acts 11 may be, it may be 9 or 10 years after. It may be, we don't really know. But look at that and look at Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching. Same heart, isn't it? It's the same thing again. Do we see that? They devoted themselves. There's a commitment. There's a commitment. And we see this picture to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayers. We're going to look at all four of these this morning, just as we look at it. Here's the blueprint of the church. What do the externals of the church like? We're in aircon this morning. We're online this morning. We have all of these things this morning. But brothers and sisters, these are externals. These are I can't remember the word right now. These are the unimportant things. They help things along, but they're not the essentials. Here we see the essentials. Here is what the Holy Spirit does. And I want to ask you something this morning. Does your life measure up in essentials? Is your life being built up by the Holy Spirit in the essentials? Are you devoting yourself continually to the apostles' teaching? Are you devoting yourselves continually to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers? Does that describe your life that the Holy Spirit is building? That's what he will build when we are full of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. And his plan has not changed. His pattern has not changed. His blueprint has not changed. Amen. 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 I want to remind you of this. As I told the first service, it's a little bit like chicken or the egg. Which one comes first? Well, God always comes first, but I just want to remind you of this. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And here's this partnership of the Holy Spirit. Here's this partnership with the Lord. Sometimes we feel like, I can't make it, I can't make it, I can't make it. You can make it. Reach out to the Lord, and his eyes are roaming the earth. He's looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. If you have a commitment of heart, you don't have the power to carry it out. You don't know how it's going to be done. You think, Lord, I can't get there from here. But Lord, I want to. The Lord hears your prayer. The Lord hears your words. The Lord sees where you are. And he says, your heart is committed to me, but you don't know how you're going to make it. I see you, and I'm coming to you now to strengthen your heart, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. This is what the Holy Spirit does as he works in this church and as he works in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we see this picture. They were devoted, and the Lord is devoted as well. The Lord is looking for those who are committed to him. We see these verses. So they devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching. That was 242, 246. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex. And Barnabas encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. Brothers and sisters, how much more do we, how greatly we need this resolve right now in this time where it is becoming easier and easier just to meet online, isn't it? It's so much easier. It's so much more convenient. It requires, let's be honest, it requires so little effort, right? So little effort. Now, don't get mad at me. We're just looking at what the Holy Spirit does. We're looking at the church that the Holy Spirit builds. And so they devoted themselves. What did they devote themselves to? To the apostles' teaching. What does the Holy Spirit do as he works in us? Look with me at the prayer of Paul. Beautiful. Colossians 1, 9, and 10. He prayed this for every church. Peter prayed this for every church. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you can impress people with how spiritual you are and how well you know God's word, and you can tell everybody else. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world, and you will be my witnesses. How are we his witnesses? With our lives. With our lives. With our lives. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Amen. Amen. And then what else did they devote themselves to? Continually to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayers. And then they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house. Here's this beautiful picture of people sharing lives together, of people fellowshipping together, most commonly over a meal. Because what happens over a meal, we've talked about this before, we slow down, don't we? As I'm eating my falafel wrap or my what do I always get? Alu something. Anyhow, at Dimpal. As we eat these things, as we slow down, that's when we find out about one another. That's as I find out how you're going through things. That's when I find out you're struggling in this area. That's when I find out you're having difficulty in this area. And that's when you find out about my life as well. As a pastor, I'm always the most concerned for people who zip into church and then zip out. Please don't be offended. I'm just sharing my heart with you. Listen to my heart this morning. Because that's not the Holy Spirit blueprint. That's not the Holy Spirit pattern. The Holy Spirit pattern is to pull us into fellowship with other Christians. And when I'm pulled into fellowship with you, I grow, you grow. As I'm pulled into fellowship with you, God is able to use me to meet your needs. God is able to use you to meet my needs. Please don't isolate yourself from the fellowship. Don't isolate yourself. What else do they do? They devoted themselves continually to, does it say prayer or prayers? Prayers, plural. Do you know what this means first before private prayer? Although for sure there was plenty of private prayer. What this means is actually corporate prayer. That's what that means, to prayers. They would meet together at regular times. What does it say in verse 46? They devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex because there were set times for prayer at those times as well. And so what I want you to see here is that there is a harmony and a unity and a shared, not only the spiritual church life, but the everyday life as well. I encourage you, please don't isolate yourself. Please don't isolate yourself. Stay with the body. Share with the body and let them share with you. I am very thankful for tech. I am very thankful for online services. I really am. But it is not always a blessing. It's not. It's not. And when the convenience and the ease of online services take the place of, it is extra effort, I know that, but when it takes the place of being and doing as the Holy Spirit calls us to, hear my heart, brothers and sisters, it is no longer a blessing to us. It's no longer a blessing. This is the pattern that we see. This is the pattern that we see. And I encourage you, and I urge you. A week or so ago, some of us had the privilege of being in a Zoom meeting with a brother from Iran. His name is Farthi. I'm trying to remember exactly now. Farthi, yeah. Here's a picture of him. And I want to share with you, because we're talking about what church is like, right? We're talking about how the Holy Spirit builds a church. He is now 42 years old, and he became a Christian when he was 16 or 17. With help, he was able to go to university, because of course it was under the Iranian Revolution. It was a very difficult time. There was great persecution of Christians. I can speak about this openly because he speaks quite openly as well, and he's no longer in Iran now. But in his early Christian life, even, maybe early 30s or so, he had already established 48 or 49 churches in Iran. Small churches, house churches, but had already established. And then they caught him. And this is a picture of his family before his arrest. And I think this one is also before his arrest. During his imprisonment, his wife left him, took the children, and his wife left him, and he's not yet seen his son. He has now met his daughter, and his daughter has moved back to this country and is living with him. I think that's Evan Prison. That's where he was. This is shortly after he was released from prison. And the first year of his prison life, he was in solitary confinement. No Christians, no Bible, nothing, and it was no window, no nothing, this little tiny cell. And then this is what he writes, because we're talking about what church looks like, right? We're talking about what the Holy Spirit does. How does the Holy Spirit build the church? Here are his words. After my first years of solitary confinement, Evan Prison was like heaven to me. On Sundays, four dear friends would come to my lower bunk bed, that being the only place in prison that is your own private space. Imagine my bunk, 1.9 meters long, 80 centimeters, so 1.9 would be about this, I think. I measured it. I wanted to make a square and make five men. I wanted to get five of you in this, but I thought that wouldn't be nice. 80 centimeters wide, it's about like that, and then 70 centimeters high, because there was another bunk on top. And we five men would sit more or less on top of one another. We had produced our own hymn books based on what songs each of us could remember. And fortunately, now we are able to have our Bibles. We're able to have our Bibles. So we studied the Word and we prayed. Sometimes the prayers would go on for some time, and someone might be sitting on my legs, and my foot would go to sleep, and I would have to whisper, "Brother, please move a little." But on that bunk, we were able to have communion. This was our church life. What does the church look like that the Holy Spirit builds? It looks like this. It looks like this. Do we look like this? Or are we so comfortable? Are we so settled? Are we so determined to have church that doesn't cost us anything and is convenient and conforms to us and to our wants and our, not even our wants, our likes and our dislikes? The Holy Spirit is building His church. And He builds it through you and He builds it through me. So as we come to a close, Stephen's just going to come and play this morning. As we come to a close, I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit where you measure up and where you don't measure up. And it's not for me. I can look from the outside, but you know what? I have to look at my life. Holy Spirit, where do I not measure up? I'll be very honest with you. It is really only in recent months that the Holy Spirit has really, or I should say not recent months, maybe in the last year or two, that the Holy Spirit has really been burning in my heart. Start praying for people. Start, as I see them, you know, the sweeper on the street, the person in the building, the grandma downstairs that I'm praying for, to burn. Oh, pray for them. Pray for them. I want, and I hope you want, wherever you go, that the Lord's hand is with you for your sake and for others' sakes as well. In all that you do, in your family, in your work, in every area of your life, for you and through you as well. Nat, let's turn up the guitar a little bit. Yeah. And so I just invite you right now to just present yourself to the Lord. Does this look like you? Does this look like me? I was so convicted by Pastor Farshad's testimony. I can't tell you how convicted I was, because I want things convenient. I want things easy. I want things the way I want them, rather than, oh, Holy Spirit, however you want to build us is okay with me. And I'll conform. I'll conform to your pattern. I'll fit with your pattern. Change me so that I fit with you. Forgive me for trying to change you and your pattern to fit me. Holy Spirit, fill us, we pray. Fill us, we pray. Build us in this way. Build us. Make us the way that you want us to be. Would you ask him that right now? Please don't just sit here and let me pray for you. Would you ask him yourself? I invite you. You can just raise your hands. You can open your hands to him in surrender and in request. Holy Spirit, we know you love us, but we know you want more. We know, Father, you are pleased with us because we're your children, but you want to push us further than we have gone. We know that you have given us many blessings and many gifts, but you have so much more for us, and our hands are open to you in surrender and in receiving for the gifts that you will give us, for the promise that you will answer in our lives. Fill us, we pray. Convict us, we pray. Shake us up if we need to be shaken up. Lord, if we have not yet reached that point in our lives, yes, we believe, but we've not yet reached that point. We've not yet turned. Help us to turn, to turn, to turn, and begin a relationship with you. We ask for your convicting work in our lives because that's what you do. Holy Spirit, we cannot make ourselves any better. All we can say is, I'm committed. I want to devote myself. But I don't even have the strength to do that in myself. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Do in me. Transform me. Change me. Build me. Make me the church that you want me to be. I pray for every one of us, Lord. We pray for Lighthouse. Lead us on, take us on, convict us, make us hungry for you. If we haven't been digging in, help us to begin digging in so that we may receive everything that you have for us. Lord, I pray each one of us this day, you would fill us with your Spirit. And as we go out, as we're in our homes, as we're working, that your hand will be with us as we go, as we speak, as we work, as we love, as we deal with hard people. May your hand be with us. Thank you for hearing us. Lord, thank you for somebody like Pastor Farshid who shows us a way to go, a better way. We look to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.